This was taught by the Buddha and has been experienced by all the ennobled. Whatever is subject to origination due to cause is also subject to cessation. Introduction. The Buddha, the Enlightened One, sees the world of the five aggregates, form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness, as an illusion. Conversely, we see it as pleasurable, permanent, and being an entity or having an essence. This is because the latent defilement of ignorance lies dormant in our mind and darkens it, making the true nature of the world invisible to us. By viewing the world in a distorted way, we develop strong craving and clinging to the five aggregates. We desire to indulge in the sensual pleasures brought by the five aggregates and desperately grasp them as I and mine. Delighting in and craving for the five aggregates develops the strong potential for the growth of the future five aggregates, rebirth. A new life brings a new body and mind, and in consequence, triggers aging, sickness, death, lamentation, sorrow, pain, and despair, thus the whole mass of suffering. Unfortunately, people do not see things this way. With distorted and dimmed views, they see the world as colorful and the life joyful, oblivious of the truth that they are entangled by ignorance and craving, and enslaved in the wheel of rebirth, suffering, life after life. Nonetheless, it is possible to eliminate craving and bring suffering to an end. The Buddha has pointed out a path that leads us to the true nature of the world of the five aggregates of clinging with the three universal characteristics of existence: impermanent, unsatisfactory, and devoid of essence. By following this path, insight knowledge is developed and the darkness of ignorance is dispelled. Then one can let go of craving and clinging, and eventually reach liberation. To achieve this goal, the primary task of a practitioner is to comprehend the nature of suffering in the five aggregates of clinging. In the first discourse, known as the Turning of the Wheel of the Dhamma, the Buddha taught what had never been taught before. The five aggregates of clinging are the noble truth of suffering. The noble truth of suffering must be known. Contrary to conventional notions, the Buddha told us, the five aggregates of clinging are the source of pain instead of pleasure, and are the first noble truth that must be known. This was indeed unheard before. How do we get to know the noble truth of suffering? We must recognize it and contemplate it continuously with mindfulness and wisdom. Therefore, the five aggregates of clinging become the object of insight meditation. If we repeatedly attend to them wisely, recognize their arising and cessation, contemplate on their impermanence, the unsatisfactory nature inherent in the five aggregates will be revealed gradually. When enough wisdom is accomplished to comprehend the nature of the five aggregates to be a heap of suffering, we voluntarily abandon attachment to them. Who would cling to something that causes suffering? From moment to moment, wisdom leads to comprehension of the five aggregates as impermanent and suffering. As a result, we let go of craving and clinging to them from moment to moment. Free from craving and clinging, we are liberated from moment to moment. Nowadays, there are many different approaches to insight meditation. I would like to introduce a simple approach that is applicable in formal meditation as well as daily life. Before reaching the final goal, revealing the true nature of physical and mental phenomena, this method also provides a temporary shelter that protects us from the harassment of unwholesome mental states such as fear, worry, greed, anger, lamentation, jealousy, and depression. I call this method moment-to-moment practice. It requires two important mental factors: mindfulness and wisdom. Mindfulness. Mindfulness reflects the object truthfully. Mindfulness comes face to face with the object of focus and reflects the object faithfully according to its true nature without reacting to it. In other words, mindfulness sees the object as it really is, free of prejudice, bias, judgment, and preference, for these are purely personal opinions that distort the truth only to please the beholder, strengthening the view of self, atta. Mindfulness bears the object in mind truthfully and does not forget the object. It is sustained attention on the object. Mindfulness restrains impulsive reactions. Mindfulness simply observes, recognizes, allows, and accepts phenomena arising in the present moment for what they are, neither embellishing nor diminishing them. For example, when anger, a mental state, is present, a yogi recognizes its presence. This is in accordance with the teaching on the four foundations of mindfulness. He understands mind affected by hate as mind affected by hate. He understands mind affected by hate means objective observation of the angry mind with mindfulness. Mindfulness keeps one emotionless despite the presence of anger, which is agitating to the mind. Mindfulness restrains the harmful, habitual, emotional agitation such as resistance and loathing. That is to say, mindfulness keeps compulsive reactions under control. However, mindfulness needs to be cultivated and strengthened by continuous effort, since reacting impulsively is the natural tendency of the human mind. For example, when a man feels irritated by criticisms he received from another, instead of mindfully observing the arising anger dispassionately, he becomes upset due to his natural tendency. The anger triggers a compulsive reaction and he feels obliged to strike back. If he does strike back, irreparable damage would be done between the two parties involved. However, if he is able to call up mindfulness to observe anger from a third-party perspective, the habitual reaction could be stopped, and he would refrain from striking back. Here we can see, with the protection of mindfulness, he is able to guard his mind, thus guarding himself from taking unskillful comic actions. Without mindfulness blocking the impulse to react, the untrained mind will respond as it always has, with craving and attachment toward pleasant objects, with aversion and repulsion toward unpleasant ones, and with ignorance toward neutral ones. Such habitual reactions driven by greed, anger, and ignorance agitate the body and mind like burning flames and strengthen the identity view and defilements, putting us in a state of restlessness and affliction. If we further cling to these reactions and grasp them as I or mine, identity view would be further strengthened. As a consequence, more unwholesome comic actions will be done by body, speech, and mind, bringing woe to others and ourselves. Therefore, mindfulness can be compared to the brakes in a car. Imagine a car without brakes arrives at a crossroad when the traffic light turns red. Driving with no ability to stop, we will certainly meet with an accident. Therefore, when mental defilements arise, keep alert and maintain mindfulness. Mindfulness observes the defilements keenly and prepares to stop at any time. In this way, mindfulness protects the mind from reacting to the arising of defilements. Mindfulness paves the way for wisdom. As mindfulness comes face to face with the object without reacting to it, mental activity slows down, allowing wisdom to directly see the transient nature of phenomena. The Buddha said, "Just as a farmer must plow the ground in order to be able to sow, so too mindfulness fulfills an important preparatory role for the arising of wisdom." 2. Wisdom. The function of wisdom. Wisdom is a clear state of mind without confusion. It can dispel the darkness of ignorance. Such darkness conceals the three universal marks or characteristics of existence: impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, suffering, and the impersonal nature of phenomena. Not only does ignorance blind us, it also cheats us to fall into the wrong notion that the body and mind are permanent, joyful, and in our possession. Thus, attachment to the body and mind, i.e. the five aggregates, is developed. In insight meditation practice, the five aggregates clung to as self are the objects of mindful observation and keen investigation. Ignorance fosters attachment to the five aggregates. First of all, why do we cling to the five aggregates? It's because we do not yet see their faults or the danger inherent in them. An innocent child may be fascinated by the beauty of fireworks and develop an intense craving for them. Then, grasping them out of curiosity, the child gets burnt. When this happens, the child may become disillusioned and realize that fireworks are not what they seem. They are dangerous and not something to hold on to. As a result, the child may turn away from grasping it. Likewise, before the inherent danger of the five aggregates is realized, we perceive them in a distorted way and may be fascinated and delighted by them. We may misunderstand and regard them as permanent, able to satisfy or fulfill us, or as under our control. So we develop craving for them. Until wisdom arises and penetrates the true nature of the five aggregates and their three universal characteristics, being impermanent, unsatisfactory, and impersonal, the danger of them remains concealed. But when wisdom succeeds, their nature is revealed. We become disillusioned and disenchanted with them. By directly knowing and seeing the danger inherent in the five aggregates we have been clinging to for such a long time, we may become willing to abandon the immediate cause of our suffering, craving. To develop this level of mindfulness and wisdom, I hereby recommend a powerful method of observation and inquiry for the necessary knowledge to arise. This method is called moment-to-moment practice. Moment-to-moment practice. We use the acronym RADICAL, R-A-D-I-C-A-L, to easily remember what to do during this moment-to-moment practice. The first step is to develop mindfulness, which has the two aspects of recognizing and accepting. Recognize. Recognize the phenomena, whatever phenomena arises in this moment from or in the body and mind, such as anger, joy, greed, confusion, tension, fear, sleepiness, pain, happiness, depression, stiffness, heat, etc., as they arise. Let it be what it is, merely an impersonal mental and material event. For example, when a thought knocks on the door of the mind, do not immediately open the door to entertain it or offer it a cup of coffee. Otherwise, the thought will stay. Instead, immediately recognize it just as an intruding thought. Then the thought will leave. We just have to train the mindfulness to be alert, not sluggish. Accept what is just as it is, equanimously. For example, after sitting for 30 minutes in meditation, unpleasant bodily sensations may arise here and there. Just be mindful of that unpleasant bodily sensation without resisting it. Resisting the unpleasant sensations activates the underlying tendency of aversion and irritates the mind and body. Doesn't this simply make the situation worse? Therefore, do not resist. If agitation arises due to pain, shift your attention to be mindful of the agitated mind state. Accept and stay with it for a while without reacting further, and see what happens to the agitation. To refuse to accept what is, just as it is, means creating a conflict between what is real at this moment and what we want things to be or how we would have them turn out. This is just a manipulation of self.